Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to today's edition of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show podcast.
Welcome, everybody, to the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We are, as always, honored to have you joining us from all over the country. And we have a lot to talk about today. Primary day in some spots, including my home state of New York. And we will have some of the top Republican candidates running for governor in the state of New York. Getting in the mix here on the show, we have Giuliani, Lee Zeldin, Andrew Giuliani. They'll be calling in to just make their, we like to do this, make their final case. There's a bunch of good folks, bunch of good candidates in some of these primary races. And so we just want to let you hear from them. We have a lot of people listening all across New York State and certainly here in the New York City area on WOR. So wanted to let you hear from them before you're going out there to vote. Now, we also have some interesting indicators. I'm not saying Clay is, well, actually, no, I do call him the Nashville Nostradamus, but I was going to say, is someone listening maybe, or is someone thinking that they're going to follow some of Clay's political inclinations? Because yesterday we talked about, is Gavin Newsom starting to sniff around a little bit? And then later on, we see that Gavin Newsom is placing ad buys, the governor of California in some places. That doesn't seem like what you'd do if you were really just all focused in on just being the governor of California. Clay will lead us into that one later on. Good call, sir. Good call.
So far, so good.
Good thinking. And then there's also the possibilities of Republican pickups in places like Washington State, Colorado. Alarm bells are ringing for the Democrats. We'll dive into all that politics. We've got some great guests joining. Oh, and well, this will tie into what we're about to discuss. The governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, will be with us at the top of the next hour. And there's a lot, obviously, to discuss with the governor. But we'll dive into all the politics going on, but also the security situation and the realities of our southern border, which brings me to this absolutely heartbreaking story of 50 migrants found dead in a tractor trailer near San Antonio, Texas. There are others, as I speak to you now, who are, I believe, in very serious condition. Not clear what the outcome will be in the hospital. There are children who were a part of this human trafficking as well. And 50 dead in this tractor trailer died from heat and, lack of oxygen and overheating inside the trailer. A horrible, horrible situation. Now the whole country is looking at this saying, how can this occur? What is happening here? Now, Clay, I think it's always important that we're very clear and very fair and very honest in these situations. We don't do what the Democrats do where you say, I don't like this person or this politician or whatever, so I'm going to just blame everything that happens in the world that I don't like on him. The cartels are first and foremost responsible for this. However, the Biden administration's continued foster refusal to do what is necessary to change the incentive structure for people to cross illegally does contribute to exactly what we are seeing with all the fentanyl flooding in, all the methamphetamine flooding in, and now this horrific tragedy of 50 dead in one incident of human trafficking.
You know, it's touching everywhere, Buck. I'm down in Panama City Beach, and I was reading the local newspaper here, and they just busted a guy who had enough fentanyl in his home, they said, to kill every single person in Panama City Beach. That's how much he had there. And where did that come from? It came across our undefended, effectively, southern border. And when I saw this news come out, my immediate thought was, this is what happens when you have put in an incentive structure that suggests that people can get across the border without major issues. And we see this happen all the time, Buck. How long ago was it we were talking about the brave Border Patrol agent who died trying to save people crossing the river to get into Texas? It feels like that was like a month ago. And there are constant deaths taking place every single day. We know that many people in Latin America and in Mexico believe that the best route to get to America is through the southern border, to such an extent that Ukrainians have traveled to Mexico to be able to cross into the United States. People are coming from all over the world because the message is out. Joe Biden doesn't believe there should really be any border security at all. And the only time we ever even hear any discussion about the border at all is when a tragedy or crisis like this happens. It should be a moment of reflection, a moment of acknowledgement, and a recognition that everything is wrong among our political class. But what will happen is there will be a short-lived amount of attention on this, and then everybody will move on, and the border will cease to be an issue like it generally is. We care more. You hit this like 6 months ago, and I think it's 100% true. Our media and our politicians care more about the border in Ukraine than they do the border in the United States.
It's absolutely true. The governor of Texas, as I said, will be joining us in the next hour. So we clearly want to ask him about this tragedy. But Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick was not holding back at all. He's furious about the situation and he's placing blame.
This is more death on the hands of the president. I can't think of anything worse than these people in that 18-wheeler suffocating, the heat going to 130 degrees or more, trying to climb out desperately, and they died. Culture of death, whether it's fentanyl that he allows to come over the border because he has open borders that kills our teenagers, whether it's these 46 people, and it may be more, those are in the hospital, are very critical, and the babies that we've talked about. If ever this nation needs to climb out of the darkness we are in of the Biden administration, now is the time that we all should be on our knees and pray.
Clay, he's calling out the Biden administration straight up. I mean, there is policy blame here for what has been, I think, the worst the southern border has really been in certainly the last 20 or 30 years. I mean, last 20 years, to be sure. And the Biden administration doesn't want to stop it. I speak to people down along the border who are Border Patrol members. And by the way, they're terrified to speak to them. Not terrified, but, you know, they're concerned about speaking to the media because they're not allowed to. I remember somehow on the Trump administration, it was, oh, you want ride-alongs? You want to see what's going on? We got you, no problem. Now, only very specific people, very designated individuals who are part of the Border Patrol Union can even do anything with the media because they don't want people to see what's going on. They tell us that the border is not open, but if you spend any time down there, as I have at multiple points along the border, and just in the last couple of years, you can see during the Biden administration, Clay, it's wide open. You have masses of people walking up and saying, here I am. And they all believe they're going to be let into the country. They all believe they're going to be able to stay. And they say it's because of the Biden administration. Until that belief changes, tragedies will continue. People will drown in the Rio Grande. Women will be assaulted by the coyote cartel traffickers. there'll be horrific incidents like this where you have a lot of people dying all at once as part of a human smuggling operation. And our communities, because Border Patrol is stretched so thin all across the country, not just along the border, in Chicago, in New York, in Los Angeles, you name it, will be filled with fentanyl and meth and cocaine because we can't actually stop any considerable amount of those drugs when we have Border Patrol doing the humanitarian mission, which is all day, all the time.
It wasn't very long ago that AOC dressed in all white and went to the border and stood for those photo ops alongside the chain link fence with her hand outstretched, crying. Where is any Democrat associated with this border disaster? Joe Biden could easily get on a plane and fly to the border and guarantee that this received coverage. He won't do it, however, because as bad as things are with inflation and as bad as things are with crime in this country, border security is one thing that unites a huge majority of the United States. And this is one that Biden has failed on from the moment he basically came into office, Buck, because he's gone downhill on a lot of things. He's been a disaster on the border since we saw those people wearing Biden t-shirts a month after he got into office saying he wants us to come here and come into the country.
And this is where that 20 to 30% of the Democrat Party, or maybe you could say 20 to 30% overall of voters, depending on how you want to gauge it, are the ones, same thing you see with energy. Why doesn't the Biden administration can't be so stupid that they don't understand why energy prices are high and what they could do to make it better. But they still have John Kerry going around blubbering about green, you know, the Green New Deal effectively and solar. And this is a great time of transition because a dedicated and very well funded group within the Democrat Party, not a small group, but still, I'd say probably a minority of Democrats care more about climate change than they do about gas prices, because even Democrats care about gas prices, but they're held hostage by that group. Same thing on the border, certainly true nationwide, but I think it's even true in the Democrat Party. If you look at it now, enough Democrats would say, I think we got to tighten things up at the border. But that 20% of the hardcore left, they're open border people. They actually want this to be wide open, and Biden will not cross them, not going into this election, not going into any election.
I'm curious how the political calculus changes if Hispanic voters continue to break in a big way for Republicans. Because right now, Democrats in the back of their mind think the more Hispanic voters in the United States, the more likely our long range ability is to win national elections. If all of a sudden, as we are seeing, Hispanic voters are breaking in favor of Republicans, and those Hispanic voters are also saying we need a more secure border because, Buck, as you well know, they understand oftentimes the power of these cartels and a government that has been controlled by a cartel state more than anyone. And what I have been hammering home for a long time is the people who come across our southern border are risking their lives to get here because they believe in American exceptionalism. So the message that Democrats are selling to people who are trying to come to America, of America's an awful racist place, is the exact opposite of what everyone coming here believes. And it's why, ultimately, I think Hispanics are breaking in such massive numbers. We're seeing it, of all places, at the southern border in Texas. We talked about Myra Flores winning in the Texas 34, a 100-year win. It's happening everywhere.
You see, it was interesting. Even Bill Maher on his show said that for Hispanics who are in this country, he says the government should be their lawyer, not the lawyer. These were his words, not the lawyer for the illegals who just came across the border yesterday. But it doesn't feel that way. It doesn't, especially for all the members of the Hispanic community who came here legally, or the parents came here and they were born here. And, you know, there's a real shift in perception. I'm starting to believe, though, that, look, Biden is not a leader. He's never been. I know he's the president, but he's not a leader. He follows whatever the Democrat Party trend may be. The only way that they will actually get real on the border and secure it, even a little bit, not a lot, even a little bit, is if there's a total annihilation of Democrats at the polls this midterm. And even then, it will just be it'll be a little bit of a recalibration. But they're on a freight train with no brakes right now, my friend. They do not care within the party apparatus how this looks, what the numbers are of people coming in illegally every month. The only thing that changes it is if they lose.
And it's going to be a beatdown of epic proportions, I really do believe, as we're almost 4 months out.
Yeah, we're going to stay focused on it. You know, I run all of my day-to-day comms for this show and obviously talking to my family and friends through one phone. And you know what my provider is for that phone? Pure Talk. I made this switch to Pure Talk. I rely on it for my cell phone service instead of Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile because they were charging me, one of them, a big premium every month for stuff I wasn't even using. So instead of paying, I was paying about $100 a month. Pure Talk has a plan that I'm on now, $20 a month, folks. $20 a month for just the services and data you actually need. When I made the switch to Pure Talk, I was nervous at first thinking, is it really going to be as good as what I'm used to in terms of 5G connectivity? Because my phone is so important to what I do every day, right? The answer is yes. The 5G nationwide service is every bit as good. Honestly, it's so reliable. So if you've been waiting for a great deal in your cell phone service without sacrificing any quality in terms of connectivity, now's the time. Switch to Pure Talk. You can keep your phone that you have in your hand right now, or keep your phone number. So that doesn't switch at all. The only thing that changes is the name on the top left side of your phone screen. Mine now says Pure Talk, and it's service I can rely on without being ripped off every month. Switch to Pure Talk and you'll get a month free, but you have to dial #250 and say Clay and Buck. That's #250, say Clay and Buck with Pure Talk's no risk money back guarantee. You're not going to regret this. Dial #250 and say Clay and Buck. Sign up and get a month free.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. Again, we're going to be joined by the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, at 1. He's also scheduled, Buck, in addition to the tragedy that just happened at the border with all of the deaths inside of that truck trying to come across, smuggle people across the border. He's also going to give us an update on Uvalde, which has obviously been a top topic of consideration for so many of you out there since the school shooting happened. The governor was initially furious at reports that he had gotten about the actions that were undertaken by police. And it increasingly feels, Buck, like the on-site police commander there is going to end up as the fall guy for what was an indefensible response. But I'm eager to get that.
Was he responsible, though, right? I mean, the fall guy makes it sound like,
yeah.
I think the answer, look, the response was unacceptable, bottom line. Everyone now knows this. We have the data. I mean, it's unacceptable. Even people with no law enforcement or firearms training understand you're hearing gunfire in a classroom with kids in it who are helpless, who are defenseless, who are losing their lives. You go in.
911 calls, you know. Buck. I mean, that's the toughest part to me is all of the calls from the kids and the teachers, including one officer they took a gun from who was trying to go in after his wife called to said she was shot and bleeding out.
So there does need to be accountability. I mean, this is going to go down along with the police response to Columbine. People would talk about the FBI response at Waco. I mean, this was a law enforcement failure. It was. Now, there were some people who did the right thing, who went in, the BORTAC team. It's not everyone there is responsible for the law enforcement response being insufficient, but somebody was. And it certainly seems like because the first law enforcement agency on the scene was local police, they had command, even though there were other agencies and other units that showed up. And, you know, the way this works is if you're in charge, you get the blame when things go bad. And in this case, I think that would be that's the right outcome. I mean, I think that you probably should have an officer, the commanding officer on the scene, lose his job.
Yeah, I think that's the way all this is trending. So we're going to get an update from that, from the governor, as well as the tragedies going on in the border. Plus, we'll ask him about the continued shenanigans and look at me behavior from Beto that does not seem to have moved the needle very much at all as we move closer to the election that is taking place down in Texas. In the meantime, your business has five or more employees and managed to survive COVID, you're eligible to receive a payroll tax rebate of $26,000 per employee. That isn't a loan, no payback. It's a refund of the taxes you've already paid. The challenge, of course, is getting that refund for your business. Here's how you do it. Go to getrefunds.com. Their tax attorneys are specialists in a little-known payroll tax refund program. They do all the work, no charges up front, simply share a percentage of the cash they get for you. And businesses of all types qualify, including those who took PPP, nonprofits, even those that had increases in sales. Average client gets $400,000 back. Here's how you do it. Go to getrefunds.com. They've helped 10,000 companies receive over $1 billion in cash rebates. They can help you too. Just go to getrefunds.com, click on qualify me, answer a few questions. GetRefunds.com, no risk, high reward, GetRefunds.com.
Welcome back into the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show. We have the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott, joining us. Top of the next hour, so in about 30 minutes from this moment, we've got a lot to discuss with him. Updates on the biggest human smuggling tragedy in terms of loss of life, I believe, in ever. And then also updates on the investigation into the response to the Uvalde shooting. So we've got to talk to him about all of that. And then just about 20 minutes from now, coming up in a little bit here, we'll have a candidate for the governor of New York, Andrew Giuliani. And he's a friend of mine, friend of Clay's. He'll be joining us here to talk about why he thinks he should get the big job for the Empire State. Hillary Clinton is still out there, though. And, you know, we're talking a little bit about Gavin Newsom and some of his possible aspirations, the unctuous governor of California, who he's slick. I will give him that. But look what he's done to that state. I can't help but remember growing up in the 80s and 90s in this country. And California was just the promised land.
That's right.
California was where everybody was having the most fun. It was all these beautiful people getting sunshine and loving life. I wanted to learn how to surf. Gosh, surfing looks so dangerous.
When did you go to California the first time as a kid? Do you remember?
Oh, man, I can't even remember. I mean, I honestly didn't spend really time. I'm just talking about what you picked up from movies and pop culture.
I'm the same as you. I had never even been to the state of California until I was in college. So I made the trip out to California when I was in college. And at that time, it was the late 90s, early 2000s. That was right as the tech boom was starting off in the Silicon Valley. I had a roommate from San Francisco. We had an incredible time out there. And I was like, man, this place is amazing. And then I worked and have spent a lot of time in LA, probably the city that I've been in the second most other than my hometown of Nashville. And it's just so disappointing to see it all falling apart.
Yeah, they've destroyed the cities in California. San Diego's still doing pretty well. I've spent a fair amount of time out there. We've got a great audience in San Diego. But Los Angeles, San Francisco have just been driven into the ground by bad Democrat policies, as we all know. Same thing with New York City, although it feels like New York, I don't know, is it starting to turn the corner? We'll see. But Hillary Clinton, along with Gavin Newsom, are getting talked about these days as a possible yes. out of nowhere candidate if Biden doesn't run. A lot of Democrats are going on TV to say
he can't
Biden
run.
Really can't do this, guys. Now, I thought that was true 2 years ago, and they still put this guy forward, and we all see what the results have been. So who knows? Democrats, the good news about the Democrat Party is it has no integrity to protect as an institution, so they'll do whatever they think will work. Hillary Clinton, speaking of no integrity, had this to say about Clarence Thomas, who is a national treasure and a intellectual and jurisprudence hero for all Constitution-loving Americans.
I went to law school with him. Mm-hmm. He's been a person of grievance for as long as I've known him. Resentment, grievance, anger. And he has signaled in the past to lower courts, to state legislatures, that find cases, pass laws, get them up. I may not win the first, the second, or the third time, but we're going to keep at it.
So you're saying people pay attention to
yes,
this?
Yes, the people he is speaking to, which are the, you know, right-wing, very conservative judges and justices and state legislatures. And the thing that there's so many things about it that are deeply distressing, but women are going to die, Gail. Women will die.
I mean, less babies will die is the whole point of what the Supreme Court law will actually do in the aggregate. Fewer, I should say. But Clay, she's horrible. I mean, honestly.
I don't think it's fair, first of all, to go back. It's been 50 years since they were in law school, and they weren't even in the
same
class.
She didn't know
him.
They weren't friends.
That part is ridiculous. And what let's take away Clarence Thomas's jurisprudence. He is, I believe, the most beloved Supreme Court justice inside of the Supreme Court almost there's ever been. He knows every employee. Even the liberal justices, I think it was Sotomayor who just came out, Buck, and said that Clarence Thomas was an incredible guy inside of the Supreme Court. So when you actually hear people who know Clarence Thomas, his clerks, the people who work inside of the Supreme Court, whether you're the janitor or whether you're a fellow Supreme Court justice with him, he's beloved as an unbelievably likable guy. And so going back 50 years ago and saying he is filled with grievance, Clarence Thomas was, by the way, not even a conservative for much of his college years. It wasn't until I believe he got into law school that he really started to develop his own philosophy on judicial processes. And so this is all just it's trumped up BS from Hillary Clinton, who does feel like, Buck, to me, she's angling to be back in the discussion in a big way as Biden becomes increasingly incompetent.
It's also just so dishonest the way they discount. I mean, Clarence Thomas's personal story, for anybody who doesn't know, if you want to talk about someone who overcame hurdles, real hurdles, and poverty and disadvantages early on in life to become a giant of the Supreme Court and of American jurisprudence, Clarence Thomas, as far as I understand, he grew up in a house with dirt floors. He grew up speaking a kind of a local dialect in a community near Savannah that I forget the name of it, but it was known to be founded by former, you know, freed slaves after the Civil War and came from tremendous poverty. You know, he wasn't the son of university professors who raised him in Palo Alto or Cambridge, Massachusetts. He's a guy who did it all on his own, built it all, and is, I mean, honestly, I mean, his pen, I think, is the mightiest, along with Alito, of any of the justices.
He's getting attacked, it seems to me. There were five justices in the majority. He's getting attacked on a different level, and he has been for much of his career, because the message needs to be sent from Democrats. You can't be black and be conservative. That's the message that they try to... Look, I mean, the attacks that come out, you heard Lori Lightfoot yesterday saying F Clarence Thomas during
the public speech. You heard what Joe Biden said when he was running, which was absurd.
Yes, you just heard Hillary. These Democrats are aware that their entire political party collapses if 25% of black voters ever voted Republican or voted Libertarian or voted Green Party, just weren't voting Democrat. And so anyone who threatens that political power gets attacked in a much more noxious fashion than anyone else. And that's certainly what we're seeing happen to Clarence Thomas right now.
We got Andrew Giuliani up next. Stick around for us. He's running for governor of New York. Folks, thanks to people like you, the Tunnel to Towers Foundation delivers on its promise to do good and never forget the sacrifices of America's greatest heroes. Heroes like Officer Familia, who couldn't wait to join the NYPD to protect her community. She proudly wore the uniform, but was ambushed and shot in line of duty because of wearing that uniform and serving her community. She survived by 3 children, including a daughter who's 20 years old and has now become the sole guardian of her 2 younger twin siblings. Think about that. She went from big sister to provider in an instant, all while dealing with the immense grief of having lost her mother. But thanks to your generosity, Tunnel to Towers gave this family a mortgage-free home. For some families, the foundation brings the comfort of knowing they can stay in the home where they made memories with their fallen loved one. For other families, the foundation enables new memories to be cherished forever. Help our nation's greatest heroes and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2 of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carla Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Junie. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show, finishing off hour number one, primary day in many different states across the country as we continue to move towards what we believe will be a red tsunami in November, about 4 months from now. New York State, one of the places that will be having its primary. We're joined now by Andrew Giuliani, who is running for the Republican nomination in the state of New York. Andrew, thanks for joining us. What do you expect to see from voters today in the state of New York?
Well, guys, always great to join you. I got to tell you, we've been out on the trail really nonstop the last year, but especially the last couple of days here from Buffalo to Rochester to Syracuse. I think voters are going to turn out and say they want Andrew Giuliani to be their Republican nominee. Everything we're seeing, though, is tight in all this. All the public polling released. Our private internals have us up 4 points right now, but everything is within the margin of error. So we're telling people to come on out and make sure they vote today. It doesn't matter as long as they come out by 9 p.m. got to come out and cast your vote.
Andrew, you and I go back decades, and obviously anyone from New York City from the 90s feels like they have a debt of gratitude to the Giuliani name for cleaning up the city. Why are you ready for this, my friend? Why are you ready to be governor of New York?
So I've spent 33 years looking at this, watching how New York City can be transformed from the rotting apple, as was described by Time magazine in the early 90s, where you had over 2,000 murders a year consistently, to the safest large city in America. Now, unfortunately, we're going back in the wrong direction because of policies like bail reform, because we have DAs like Alvin Bragg and like Gonzalez, who are Soros-funded, that choose not to execute their oath of office. Think of the message that sends to our police officers when you say we are not going to prosecute resisting arrest. We now more than ever need to curb this outflow of migration from New York to places like Florida. That means making sure we end this war on our police. That means making sure that we're not the highest tax state in the country anymore and most overregulated state in the country. And it also means making sure that we're fighting for our kids and our parents' rights to be their primary stakeholder in our kids' education. That's what I will do in Albany on day one, Buck.
Andrew, you've got a really big challenge in New York with so many people relocating outside of the state. You kind of hinted at that based on the tax rates that are going on there. I think also security factors in. How do you get people leaving New York to be willing to come back, especially because many of the people leaving are those that would owe the most taxes and they're going to, frankly, far freer and far more affordable states?
Well, and Clay, I know you and I have talked about this as a few years ago. You moved from a blue state to a red state, a state that actually looks at their budget. I mean, think about this. New York's budget is $220 billion. To compare it to Florida, that has 1 million more people, Florida's budget is $98 billion. That means they're spending $5,000 per person in Florida versus over $11,000 in New York. We are just not efficient at all in New York. And unfortunately, it just continues to go up and up and up. So obviously, the first thing is making sure you can reduce crime, because people first and foremost want to feel safe for their family. But then secondly, right after that, you have to look at the cost of living. And the fact that we are now paying $5 a gallon gas, it's going to hurt those Northeast states far more than the Sunbelt states, because you have some New Yorkers that are looking at the approaching winter in a couple of months here and thinking, am I going to have the money to heat my home or actually go to the grocery store? That's going to chase more and more people out. We need to make sure we're doing everything we can from an economic standpoint, from a crime standpoint, from an education standpoint, and also from a health freedom standpoint. And I know, Clay, Buck, you guys have talked a whole lot about this, but the fact that we still have mandates in place in the state of New York, and we have great New York heroes like our firefighters and our nurses that lost their job because they made a health decision, is unconscionable. And these health decisions, these health mandates, will go in the ash bin of history on day one of a Giuliani administration.
Speaking of Andrew Giuliani, candidate for the governor's mansion here in New York State, and it is primary day in New York State, so obviously people are going out right now casting their votes. With that in mind, Andrew, how do you stack up against the current governor, who didn't win an election, just kind of ended up the governor, Kathy Hochul? Does she still have her vaccine necklace on?
Yeah, you know, that's one of the other things. I will never actually go into a church and ask people to be my apostles. What kind of a deity complex does she have? I think she does still wear that vax necklace at times. I don't know. I'm sure at some point they'll say that she needs to take it off and she'll listen to her consultants. I mean, one of the things, guys, I really thought that it wasn't possible for her to be as corrupt as Andrew Cuomo, but if we gave her the time, she might get there. You think about the first 6 months of her tenure, you already have a stadium deal where her husband is profiting off of, and then you have a lieutenant governor, really her first major personnel pick, who gets arrested for campaign finance fraud. So we just can't give Kathy Hochul any more time, certainly not if we're going to bring New York State back. I think this is very simple. Kathy Hochul does not care about the fact that crime is running out of control, not just in New York City, but also in Rochester and Binghamton and Buffalo, where they had murder rate highs last year. We need to make sure we are addressing the root problems and not playing politics. Kathy Hochul, the only thing that she has done for New York right now, has played politics. And I guess the only good thing that she's done, which I guess it's questionable, even if it's good because she's been so bad, is the fact that you relieved Andrew Cuomo of his duties.
Andrew, first of all, we appreciate you giving the time because we know how busy you are here. But as you look towards the future with COVID, we still got kids having to wear masks sometimes. It feels like Democrats might bring it back. Would you just basically say this is done in New York? And how much are you hearing from people out there that they're just over all this COVID theater?
100%. You know, my 7-month-old daughter, Grace, is traveling around with me today on the campaign trail, hitting stop and stop. And she's by far the most charming Giuliani in the family. Rudy or myself do not compare to her. But I think about if she was only a couple of years older, what it would be like putting her on the school bus, knowing that she would have to be in a mask all day. And I can't imagine it, guys. To me, this is crazy. When you have a CDC director that is going out there and literally saying that this vaccine does not prevent transmission, then why is there a mandate on this at all? This should be everybody's individual health choice. We should absolutely not be mandating masks on kids. I look at it, frankly, as child abuse, and I think the long-term effects we won't know about for a very long time in all this. And for me, this is very simple. All of these mandates, the mask mandates, the vaccine mandates, they become individual health choices the day that I take office. And all the mandates go in the trash on day one.
Speaking of Andrew Giuliani, he's running for governor. The Republican primary is today in New York, well, the primary in general. Andrew, we've only got about 30, 40 seconds. Just want to give you the floor to tell folks. I know there are people listening all over New York State right now. We've got a fantastic New York-based audience. Obviously, I'm here at NYC. Your last pitch for them, sir.
Well, you got to get out and vote. Today is the day to fulfill our civic duty. If you want somebody who's going to go up to Albany and make sure that we can make New York safe again by making sure we end this war on our cops, who can give our parents the choice in education that they deserve by having tax credits, by increasing the charter school, by truly believing our parents are the primary stakeholders in our kids' education. If you want somebody that's going to make sure that health decisions should be yours and yours alone and not by a dictatorial governor, then come on out and vote for Andrew Giuliani today. You got 8 hours till the polls close, so come on out and vote.
Andrew, good luck to you, my friend. Clay and I appreciate you making the time today. We'll talk to you soon.
Clay Buck, as always, thank you for having me.
Up next, Texas Governor Greg Abbott on the latest at the border, as well as a school shooting. We'll talk about it with him. Hang with us.
Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the front lines of truth.
More Than a Movie is back with season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.